Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It's important for this story to know that immediately preceding this, Jesus and his disciples have just gone across the lake, and Jesus has calmed a very bad storm. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasene, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. The demons begged Jesus not to order them to go back to the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank to the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So the man went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you think this is just one fascinating story? And besides that, who would have thought you'd be hearing about the first reported case of deviled ham? Truly, though, we should all be cheering wildly. Cheering like St. Louis did a week ago when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. And if not cheering, at least we need to be singing lustily. So if you don't believe me, let me set the stage why this is such an awesome story. Before this incident, Jesus had been going all over Galilee. Remember, Galilee is Jewish territory, or the In With God crowd, the chosen people. He's been going all over Galilee declaring, "The kingdom of God has arrived." Okay, nobody's cheering lustily yet. So what if I put it this way? What if I change those words and it's going to mean exactly the same thing? But what if Jesus was going around Galilee and this is what he was saying? "Ali, ali, oxen free. God's here for you. Ali, Ali, oxen free. Remember playing hide and seek? When we were young, we'd yell that so that everybody could come in, that the game was over. Some experts say that that's short for the English phrase, all ye, outs in free. Or it could stand for the German phrase, alle, alle, auch sind frei. You're all free. So this is what Jesus is proclaiming, alle, alle, oxen free. And while he's doing it, amazing things are happening. People are being changed. People are getting healed. So let me just a quick rundown before he gets to Gerizim. He has been in a synagogue, and there's a man with one evil spirit, and Jesus drives that evil spirit out. And then he heals a leper, and then a paralytic, and then a man with a withered hand. And then he hits a home run, and he raises a widow's son from the dead. Wherever he goes, the kingdom of God, meaning life, is busting out all over. So I wrote a little song, and I stole it from Rodgers and Hammerstein to help you remember this. Here's how it goes. Life is busting out all over. Alleluia, alleluia. So now we're in chapter 8. Jesus leaves Galilee, and he deliberately crosses the lake. And that's a dead giveaway that now he is going into Gentile territory to where all those other people live. Those other people, the Gentiles, the unclean people, the unacceptable people. And guess what? He does exactly the same thing. He drives out demons, but on such a grander scale, this guy's got 6,000. Once again, when Jesus arrives, demons are cast out, people are healed, and the dead get raised. So I'm going to sing about that again. Life is busting out all over. Alleluia, alleluia. The point Luke is making, and Paul makes it too, notice in the epistle, is that life, salvation, healing has come to those other people too. Today, by the way, we don't have to cross the lake anymore. Those other people live all around us. So how do the most broken, unclean people become whole? How do they become clean? So the very first, most simplistic answer is Jesus goes to them. He gets in his boat and he goes across the lake to them. And it was a traumatic crossing. And keep that in mind. Keep this in the back of your head, because this is what happens to churches. And you know we're called a nave, which is an upside-down ship, right? So the symbol for church is a boat. So churches are to go across the lake to reach other people. So just keep that image in your mind. There are lots of details in this story that illustrate the wretchedness, the uncleanness of those other people that Jesus is reaching out to. First of all is the location. Gerizim is one of the cities of the Decapolis, which is one of the 10 cities that Rome built in occupied territories. And Romans are the hated occupying forces. And there are pigs all over the place. Only Gentiles, only Greeks and Romans eat pigs, and they sacrifice them for pagan sacrifices. So pigs are the moral equivalent of paganism and apostasy. And it's so interesting, just the second Jesus steps out of the boat, this man with evil spirits runs up to him and screams at the top of his lungs, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus?" This is interesting because right the verse before I started reading, when Jesus had calmed the seas, the disciples were scratching their heads and saying, "Who is this guy? We don't know who this Jesus is." And immediately, the demons recognize him. And they know who he is, and they are afraid of him. They're terrified. And they try to jump the gun on Jesus by naming him first. So to explain that, back in those days, if you named something, you could control it. And as an aside, that's not so unusual. Today we think if we can name our maladies, if we can put a name on to something, perhaps we can overcome them too. But Jesus has the upper hand and demands to know his name. And he has to answer. He says, "We are legion," which is 6,000. The point is, the man has no name. He has no identity. He just has thousands of evil spirits raging inside him, tearing him apart, destroying him and society. Evil demons destroy both the individual and the community. So his neighbors intentionally tie him up and kick him out. He has to live in a graveyard. Graveyards, by the way, are very unclean, because if you touch a corpse, you become unclean. The man is naked. He doesn't have any clothes on. And again, that's to show that he doesn't belong. He's an outcast. He's a nobody. He's the kind of those other people that we want to tie up and banish from our lives. Unclean people contaminate you, after all. So you have to expel them from your community, or so the thinking goes. Jewish tradition had an all-encompassing understanding of what evil spirits were. It wasn't just about mental illness. They included all those forces, those powers that destroy life. So, for example, they would include physical ailments, emotional ailments, social ailments, even natural problems like the storm. We can see that addictions are evil spirits because they always cause us to destroy ourselves and then usually other people too. And there are evil spirits of divisiveness, like spirits of vengeance, of hatred, of greed, of racism. They grab a hold of us and torment us, and then we turn around and torment other people. Today, political scientists tell us that our country suffers from the evil spirit of tribalism that's just gone amok. And I'm sorry to say, because I'm included, that whatever side of the tribe one falls on, each side usually ends up labeling and dehumanizing those other people. But evil spirits are evil, and they always destroy. Evil is a horrible reality in our world. Note that the poor pigs die. And think about school shootings, genocides, terrorism, on and on. But before I go on, I have to take a momentary pause here and explain something to my husband, Gary, who when I told him I was preaching on this, said that he thought it was very callous of Jesus to allow the village people to lose all their pigs. Okay, so I just want to explain that. Luke is being ironic here. This is actually some biblical humor going on. It's an all-time backfire that a Jewish audience would find absolutely hilarious. So to explain that, in the ancient Near East folklore taught that demons were adverse to water. that water would kill them, that water was their great antithesis. And so they lived in absolute fear of water. And that's not so far-fetched, because think of The Wizard of Oz, where water kills the evil witch, and think of the Salem witch trials, where they put these poor women in water to prove that they weren't evil. So water is bad for demons. And so when the demons realize that Jesus is going to throw them out, they think they're being clever, and they're one-upping Jesus by asking him to send them into the pigs instead, because then they'd still be alive. They wouldn't be in the abyss. But instead, when Jesus gives them their way, the demons end up exactly where they don't want to be, which is in the water, meaning they're in the abyss. Jesus has taken care of them. The demon legion is destroyed. The man is left healed in both body and mind. And then he reappears with his clothes on. That means he has his identity back, and he's restored to the community. It's as if Jesus' cleanness had rubbed off into him. So let me sing this one. Clean is busting out all over. Alleluia, alleluia. Evil kills, but Jesus gives life. How so? It took more than a snap of a finger or a magic wand. It took a life. And not just any life, but God's life. I figure it took God 4 days to clean up the world. And just bear with me here, because my numbering is all wrong, but I want to consider cleanup day number one was Maundy Thursday, that night that Jesus grabbed a hold of the most disgusting, smelly, unclean part of his disciples, their feet, and he washed them up, and he never let go. And that's what Jesus does. He grabs a hold of us, joining himself to us at those parts, maybe where we are the most unclean, that we are the most ashamed of, maybe the most injured. And he takes all of that into himself, our sickness, our brokenness, our evil spirits, our death, and he takes them. Cleanup day number two, he takes them to the cross, and he suffers them away. Jesus, God come to earth, is contaminated, and it kills him. But then cleanup day number four happens, and that would be Easter Sunday, and Almighty God says he reverses that with resurrection. He says, life wins, not death. And not just life for Jesus, but miraculously life for anyone and everyone who hangs on to Jesus. That's why Jesus could go around saying, ollie, 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 oxen free. That's how come life is busting out all over. But did you catch the sobering part of this story? That there is one group of people, the townspeople, who didn't appreciate at all what Jesus had done. Here he had just healed this man. And they say, Jesus, would you just please leave? They were, Luke tells us that they were afraid. And the only explanation I have for that is I think they had gotten comfortable with their old demons, and they didn't want to lose those demons. They didn't want to live in a kingdom that operates by forgiveness and mercy, that reaches out to those other people. They didn't want to welcome and rehab those other people. They liked their old ways better. Thank you very much. One commentator I read noted how sobering it is to think that Jesus easily threw out 6,000 evil demons, but the malady that the townspeople had, fear, was a much tougher problem. And that would take a whole other sermon to address. But you might be able to preach a sermon to yourself and start with love, perfect love casts out fear. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free for everyone, for insiders and all those other people. So what does that make us now? I'd like to think that makes us God's cleanup crew. We have cleaned up hearts, and we are honored that we can become God's cleanup crew. And I was thinking to myself, what would that look like? Well, sometimes you might have to be a vacuum cleaner. You might have to just absorb into yourself other people's sins and suffer them away. That would be what forgiveness is. Sometimes we have to act like glass cleaners. That would be acting as an honest mirror to each other. Paul called that speaking the truth in love, not to destroy that person, but to turn them around, to bring them to repentance, to bring them back to life. And other times, we are like the crews that clean up communities that have been destroyed by storms and hurricanes. It takes a lot of love and a lot of caring to rebuild broken lives, broken relationships, and broken communities. Our mission is to get in our boat into this nave together to all those other people and proclaim, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, God's here for you. In a short while, you will come up to receive the Eucharist. So think to yourself, here's Jesus coming across the lake, maybe into your graveyard, coming to you, for you. Here I am, he says, right here. Here I am. Here's my life. Take it. And then spread it around. I think that's something to cheer lustily about or to sing. So you want to help me? We'll do it one more time. Life is busting out all over. Give me a note. All right, never mind. I'll lead it. Everybody sing. Life is busting out all over. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.